This is The Naked Scientist with Mira and Diana. Now, while talking of things thermal, here's a story on fired clay. Now, normally ancient bits of pot and brick are dated using carbon samples or thermoluminescence, but these techniques require lots of sampling and calibrating, which takes time. So it was quite a surprise when construction scientist Moira Wilson came up with a really simple method of dating ceramics.
I think the problem is that most people think that carbon-14 dating can be used to date anything. And in fact, it can't. It can only be used to date things that have been living, like, you know, plant material, bone or whatever, that's been exchanging carbon with the atmosphere throughout its lifetime. So you can't carbon date everything, that's the first thing. And you certainly can't carbon date pottery. Thermoluminescence that can be used to date pottery, this is actually quite a complicated thing. You need to excavate quite a large volume of material from around the fragments of pot during the archaeological dig, because you need this material to get a background count for calibration. And thermoluminescence is calibrated against the carbon-14 dating curve. Now, our method is self-calibrating and doesn't require any material from around the excavated site. So we can actually use it retrospectively on a lump of clay or a lump of pot or brick or whatever that's been sitting in a museum.
And how did you go about discovering this technique, and what gave you the inspiration in the first place?
Right, well, it sounds a bit of a weird thing to do, but they say that chance favours the prepared mind. What we're actually working on at the time was moisture expansion in clay masonry. And this is an engineering problem, really, in masonry construction, that bricks expand. Okay, this is why you have expansion joints in walls, for example. So as soon as the bricks come out of the kiln, they start expanding and carry on expanding forever. And this is why in general practice, you know, bricks would never be used straight from the brickyard. They'd be left for a few days. So we started off looking at the engineering problems.
So basically you were trying to find a way of being able to predict how these bricks would behave after they came out of the kiln.
Yeah, what we were looking at was moisture expansion in clay brick, as in walls. In the process of doing so, we discovered a new law. And we found that these materials expand at a rate that's proportional to the fourth root of time. For example, if you have a kilometre of wall that's about 200 years old, it will, in the course of that 200 years, expanded by about a metre.
Wow.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean the wall gets longer by a metre, because what happens is that the expansion of each individual brick is accommodated by the mortar joints getting squashed up.
All right, then. So what are the actual particulars of the technique that other archaeologists could do themselves eventually?
Right, so how it works. Well, as I say, the dating method relies on this new law. But fundamentally what it relies on is that as soon as any fired clay product is removed from the kiln, it starts gaining weight and expanding, caused by the reaction between the ceramic and atmospheric moisture. And this, as we say, carries on forever. So if we take the example of a whole brick, we would weigh the brick, first of all. And the weight now is its original weight as it came out of the kiln, plus the weight of the chemically combined water that's reacted with it over its lifetime. Then we heat the material to several hundred degrees to drive off this chemically combined water, and then we weigh it again. So we can establish from that how much water it's gained over its lifetime. And in the case of a Roman brick, say, that would be about 40 grams. So once we've driven all this chemically combined water off, it starts to recombine again. So it starts all over again. So we monitor this for a few days, and it obeys our T to the quarter law, so the data come out as a nice straight line. And from this, we can establish the rate at which the material is reacting with water. And if we know how much it's lost, we can work out how long it's going to take to gain that much water again.
So each measurement is specific to a different type of ceramic?
It is, and it's self-calibrating, so we don't need any other external calibration data for it at all. It doesn't matter what the sort of clay it's made of or anything, and it's very simple, you see.
Can sort of ambient humidity change the result at all?
Nope. This is the other nice thing about it. This chemical reaction is incredibly slow. It's proceeding in increments of 1, 16, 81, 256 minutes, days, decades, whatever. So the reaction rate, very fast to start, it slows down very, very quickly. And the reaction is sustained by an incredibly small quantity of water. So there's actually sufficient moisture in the atmosphere to keep the reaction going. So it doesn't actually matter whether your brick is sitting on the table or it's sitting at the bottom of a lake. As long as there's enough water there to sustain the reaction, any excess water for example, if the material is saturated, it doesn't contribute to the reaction, it just sits there doing nothing.
OK, and how accurate are the dates, do you think, that you could get from, say, a bit of pottery that's maybe something around 2,000 years old? I mean, how accurate, if it was that old, would your date be?
Well, I think the biggest inaccuracy that we've got in our results is the supposed known age of the sample in the first place. I mean, we don't know that a brick was fired on the 5th of July at 2:30 in the afternoon or something like that. You know, we just know it's Roman, for example. So if we can date a Roman brick to 2,001 years, that's great. It's certainly in the right ballpark. But as far as the magnitude of it goes, say we're looking at a Roman brick, we don't measure whole bricks, we measure 4-gram pieces. So in the course of 2,000 years, say, we'd expect a 4-gram piece to have gained about 68 milligrams in mass. Now, if we're measuring to a tenth of a millionth of a gram, that's actually a lot of units of measurement that are available to us. So really, I suppose what you're saying is, how accurate are all the components of this? The mass measurement is virtually error-free, we would say.
Fantastic. You mentioned there that you used a 4-gram sample as like a starting point, but is that the smallest you can go to, or could you take a really small scraping and work from that?
Well, actually, given that we started off measuring the mass gain in whole bricks, which is about 2.5 kilograms, and then we move down to 4 grams, which is about half the size of a sugar cube. And now we're down to milligram-sized pieces. So we're getting the sample size down all the time, which is an advantage.
Wonderful. And apart from archaeology, how else could this technique be used?
Well, because the mass gain in these materials follows this precisely defined kinetic law, and because it's also temperature-dependent, we could, if we knew the precise date at which something was fired, and there are instances of this, like Pompeii, for example, was immersed in pyroclastic ash in AD 79. So we know the precise date at which all the ceramics in Pompeii were heated up. We could then turn the method on its head, and because we know the exact firing date, we could work out the average temperature that the material had been exposed to over this precisely known lifetime. So there might be a bit of climate change potential there as well.
So what's the next stage in researching this technique? Are you going to apply it to objects you know the date of first, or are you just going to sort of have a play and see if you can debunk any other previous dates that have been taken on pottery?
It's gone beyond having a play, really. We've had this fantastic or overwhelming international response from the archaeological community to this work. I mean, we're really shocked, actually. So the next stage of the work, really, is to validate the method. I mean, I suppose you could say we have already validated it. We've proved the concept. What we need to do now is to work out a standard methodology for carrying out these measurements so that other people can do it. We also need to extend the time range of the samples that we've measured. We've only measured things to 2,000 years old so far, so we'd really like to look at some older samples. And we've heard in our correspondence with archaeologists that pyrotechnology apparently goes back to 16,000 BC. So if we could get our hands on a piece of pottery that was 18,000 years old, we'd be really happy.
It seems too good to be true. And the team were actually thrown to start with, as they were given this medieval brick to test their theories on. And they just couldn't work out why the date came out at around 1939. But it turned out that the house in which the bricks had been stored was bombed during the Second World War. So the brick itself was actually refired, giving a much more recent date. So you might not want to use this method on the bricks at Pompeii.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science. The Naked Scientists. We'll be right back.